Bad Decisions, and more, with music beginning at 3 p.m. On Saturday, the Lydia Rose Band, Kitschy Boogie, and others are playing with music beginning at 12:30. The specific address can be found online. It's Mississippi Headwaters Music Fest this weekend. Also Friday night, Sam Miltich and the Clearwater Hot Club will be at Bridget's in Bemidji at 6 p.m. playing the hot club jazz of Django Reinhardt alongside straight-ahead tunes and Balkan folk music. The group feature original songs alongside jazz standards and folk traditionals. Sam Miltich and the Clearwater Hot Club Friday night at Bridget's in Bemidji. On Saturday, country and folk icon Steve Earle is coming to the Northern Lights Casino in Walker. Active since the mid-70s, Earle has 7 Grammy-nominated albums, winning 3 of them, and is best known for songs like Copperhead Road, Guitar Town, Galway Girl, and many more. Most recently, he continued a series of cover albums with a tribute to Jerry Jeff Walker in 2022. The opener is country singer Calder Allen. It's Steve Earle at Northern Lights Casino in Walker this Saturday at 6. At the same time, folk rock quartet Morning Bird are playing Rapids Brewing in Grand Rapids. Led by multi-instrumentalist Jill Burks and Josh Palmy, the group is rounded out by the rhythm section of Shane Kingsland and Jim Pedala. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Thank you, Malachi, for the set list. Coming up this afternoon, 1 to 4, it's On the River, and it's going to be Kari and Malachi live from the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm so jealous. They'll be in the education building at the Ampers booth. They'll be there starting at 9 o'clock, but not broadcasting until 1 to 4. But yeah, check them out. Visit them if you are at the fair today.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 in Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources has confirmed the invasive algae starry stonewort in 4 more lakes. This includes 3 in northern Minnesota: Garfield Lake near LaPorte in Hubbard County, Gull Lake 1 mile west of Ten Strike in Beltrami County, and Three Island Lake near Turtle River, also in Beltrami. Starry stonewort was found in these lakes during the recent Starry Trek event in early August. The annual event sees county and state staff and volunteers searching lakes for starry stonewort and other aquatic invasive species. Starry stonewort is usually identified by the star-shaped, white, bulb-like structures on the plant. These typically become visible in late summer. It can form dense mats, which can interfere with recreational uses of a lake and compete with native plants. Wild rice season technically opened over a week ago, but harvesting is still a ways out. Wet weather has created unique conditions this year. Megan Buffington has more.
Jordan Williams wouldn't go so far as to call this year a bumper crop, but he will say the rice is looking really, really nice.
Really thick, tall rice. If you know of any other place that, you know, typically has wild rice, it's probably going to have just a little bit more this year.
Williams is a wildlife biologist for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Department of Natural Resources. The rice is looking much better than it has in recent years, when drought has limited harvests, and low water meant you couldn't reach the stands that did do well. That's one advantage of all the rain this summer.
This year is something that I haven't really noticed before, ever, my experience, where we've had enough water to get just about anywhere you need to, and then you still have just a really, really thick rice bed.
The Minnesota DNR's Wild Rice Outlook promises similar success for many ricers, though high water and summer storms did impact some stands. The DNR reminds ricers that it's illegal to harvest green rice. He has a couple more reminders.
Make sure, you come with prepared with all your safety equipment, life jackets, and cell phone. Make sure people know where you're at. Making sure that, you're going out there and harvesting in a respectful way.
Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
Nearly 120 acres of land will become part of the Namaji State Forest south of Cloquet, thanks to a donation from the Trust for Public Land. The DNR received the land donation from the nonprofit after it acquired parcels bordering the forest from private property owners using grants from the Outdoor Heritage Fund. The parcel added to the forest features mixed hardwood and protects wildlife habitat in an area valued for outdoor recreation. A news release says the acquisition also supports watershed protection, provides the opportunity for better forest management, and safeguards land from fragmentation due to development. Four projects in northern Minnesota gain support from the Urban Agriculture Grants from the Minnesota Department of Ag. These competitive grants aim to promote youth agricultural education and agriculture-connected community development. The Boys and Girls Club of the Bemidji area will revitalize the club's garden space. They will begin a new curriculum, capture rainwater to eliminate flooding, add a pollinator garden, and develop a plan to build sustainability into the program. The Headwaters Regional Development Commission in Bemidji will revitalize the Conifer Estates Community Garden. The Northwestern Minnesota Juvenile Center in Bemidji will provide hands-on agricultural opportunities to the youths housed there. They will restore a greenhouse with utilities, create a fenced-in space to add more garden beds, and purchase equipment. Hermantown Community Schools will develop a learning garden. The garden is intended to expose kids from pre-kindergarten through 5 years old to the growth cycle and the process of growing food. Nashua Kewatin is gathering input on the future of a historic school mural. The mosaic in the old high school library was built in the 60s, according to the 2003 Nashua Centennial Book. The 105-square-foot mosaic is made of some 15,000 Venetian glass tiles from Italy. It depicts the history of the area, including mining and railroad imagery and a church, schools, and other historic structures. Nashua Kewatin is moving into its new school this fall. That's where the listening session about the mural will be at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You can hear the latest edition of the Up North Report today at 5:30 during All Things Considered here on People Powered KAXE. It is the Friday morning show, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. Jennifer Barr sitting in for Heidi Holton with John Bauer.
If you're looking for something to do tomorrow night, there's a lot of things going on, but at the Kegama Golf Course, they're celebrating their centennial celebration, and at 7 o'clock, String Genius is going to be performing. They are a four-piece, fantastic violins and cello, and we're going to be speaking with Rebecca Ahrens, who's kind of in charge of that group. It's in the 8 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, and it's a free event. So if you're looking for some unbelievable music, I mean, I'm not supposed to be tooting it like this, but I saw them in the winter, and I didn't even know what I was going to see, and I was just overwhelmed. So we're fortunate to have them. So if you're looking for something to do this Saturday night, come on out to the golf course in Grand Rapids, 7 o'clock.
And we receive support from the Pines Restaurant in downtown Grand Rapids, hosting a late-night patio party until 1 a.m. immediately following Grand Rapids Riverfest, featuring Asian street food, handcrafted cocktails, and more. Restaurant info available at thepinesmn.com.
Also want to thank Paul Bunyan Communications, offering technology for businesses like Smart Biz, Managed Voice, and Wi-Fi services. Security cameras and more online at paulbunyan.net. Paul Bunyan Communication, it's right here.
Happening today, it is a drive for the National Marrow Donor Program. That is from 11 to 2, again from 5 to 7 at the Grand Rapids Dairy Queen. Healthy individuals ages 18 to 35 can get their cheek swabbed at the event and register to possibly save a life. Sometimes the only hope for a cure comes from an unrelated donor. You can also join the registry by texting Cure Cancer Today without spaces to 61474.
Bemidji Pride Festival is going on now through Saturday. It was a great interview the other day on KXE on August 23rd at the Rail River Folk School. Find a full schedule of events at bemidjipride.com, and you can visit the KAXE KBXE booth on Saturday during the family-friendly festival from noon to 5.
We continue now with news from National Public Radio.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Leila Fadel. Good morning.
Are prices rising because of tariffs?
This week, we heard an answer from some of the largest retailers in America, including Walmart, Home Depot, and Target.
NPR's Alina Selyukh has been listening to those companies' earnings calls and is here in studio with her takeaways. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so what's the answer? What have the big retailers been saying?
Many are acknowledging that they are indeed raising some prices because of tariffs, but they are really playing it cool. Like, it's pretty minor for now. It is worth noting there is a bit of a political context here. Back in May, when Walmart issued a pretty clear warning that tariffs would lead to higher prices in a matter of weeks, President Trump posted online in all caps that Walmart should stop blaming tariffs and, quote, eat the tariffs. Mm. So now big retailers are giving us more measured and nuanced takes. Home Depot, for example, has been saying no broad-based price hikes were happening, but some prices are up, some items are getting switched out on shelves, that sort of thing.
Okay, so they're playing it cool, but are companies doing what Trump said they should, eating the tariffs?
Oh, definitely. We saw car makers go this route. For example, General Motors took more than $1 billion in tariff costs as a hit to profits. Mm-hmm. Many big retailers also spread the pain and made their suppliers eat some of the costs in addition. But the main thing that many retailers have been doing is stockpiling. Companies from Target to dollar stores to Home Depot, they all brought in to the U.S. as much as they reasonably could before tariffs kicked in. And now Walmart CEO Doug McMillon told investors this week pretty pointedly that these stockpiles are running out.
But as we replenish inventory at post-tariff price levels, we've continued to see our costs increase each week, which we expect will continue into the third and fourth quarters.
Okay, it may not sound that pointed, but this is quite direct for corporate speak. Mm. He's saying the cost for Walmart to replenish its supplies is getting pricier by the week.
Okay, so that seems to suggest higher prices aren't here yet, but they're coming. Is that influencing shoppers at all?
On this, I can cite Walmart CEO McMillon again. He said tariffs took so long to roll out that shoppers have not changed their behavior in any dramatic way yet.
Okay.
People, especially with higher incomes, seem to be feeling spendy. For example, take furniture. It was fairly quickly affected by tariffs. Prices mm-hmm. went up. People bought less of it. But then in July, federal data showed people bought more furniture again.
Interesting.
With cars and trucks, right now auto sales are going strong thanks to car prices that have stayed pretty steady. But it also, I think, feels a bit like suspended reality. Mm. It's all being propped up by wage gains of recent years and what had been a strong labor market. But we've started to get some economic indicators showing cracks in the jobs market. And inflation, of course, has been chipping away at the wages buying power. All of this, by the way, is in focus today because of a big speech by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. He's giving his final appearance as Fed chair in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. But the biggest question hanging over this is how long until companies decide they cannot afford to eat the tariffs anymore?
And really quickly, what's the answer?
Probably not forever. And imagine shoppers know this, which is why Home Depot says right now the number one thing that still keeps people from spending more is economic uncertainty.
NPR's Alina Selyukh. Thanks, Alina.
Thank you.
Given all this, we're going to zoom out a bit for a broader look at the U.S. economy. We called Mary Lovely for this. She's a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research institution. She's with us now. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
So we just heard Alina talk about companies like Walmart warning of higher prices due to President Trump's tariffs. How significant is that warning, and what do you think it means for the economy?
Well, I think it's very significant. And Walmart, of course, is a place where you find a lot of traded goods. And we're seeing enormous pressure on the prices of traded goods because of President Trump's tariffs.
Traded goods being?
Anything that we import in large quantities and their domestic substitutes, mm-hmm. because domestic prices rise when foreign prices rise, because U.S. producers are able to expand, and they do so to fill in the gap.
And what does it mean for the economy?
For the economy, it means that we're probably facing higher inflation. We saw last month, actually August, that consumers view the inflation that's ahead of them as higher than what the Fed would like. It rose to 4.9%. So consumers are feeling this. They don't see their wages keeping up. And people are starting to worry, how are they going to handle these price increases moving forward?
And just briefly, if you know, if a big retailer like Walmart, with presumably a lot of buying power in the marketplace, is saying it can't absorb all the tariff costs forever, what does that say about smaller businesses and how they might be able to cope?
Well, many small businesses are hit in two ways. Some of them will see higher prices because domestic competition, you know, is hindered by the tariffs. But for many of them, they're seeing the prices of the goods they use to produce go up. So, for example, if you're a small boat manufacturer and you import the electric motor that goes in your boat, you're going to see that electric motor price increase. Or if you make knitted supplies, you're going to see the price of wool and other goods go up. So small businesses actually have been telling reporters for quite some time that the tariffs are hurting them.
So do you think that we are at an inflection point in the economy? And if so, what data points would you be looking at to determine that?
Yeah, I believe that Alina said we're in suspended reality. We're on the verge of something. We're not quite sure what it will be. I think this is the problem that's facing the Fed. GDP growth was a little higher in the second quarter of this year, but overall for 2025, it's pretty anemic. It's 1.2%. Imports have fallen. Exports have fallen. Prices are up. Uncertainty is way, way up. We're seeing consumers, particularly at the lower end of the income distribution, really struggling. Interestingly, about 15% of all home sales agreements were canceled last month. That's very high. Mm. It suggests that people become very uncertain when they're trying to make big spending decisions about whether they'll have the income to support that spending. About a quarter of all student loans are late or in default. So many people are beginning to experience real struggles with their income. Employment is stalled. So if people don't see that their job prospects are steady, have confidence that they're going to remain employed, the economy starts to sputter.
You know, President Trump campaigned on the promise to lower prices for Americans. It, you know, some prices have come down, but what's your assessment overall of the reality of what his policies or the impact of his policies on prices?
Well, one of the big prices that's come down is energy, and energy prices are very volatile. They go up, they go down all the time. The Fed often looks at what's called the core CPI, which strips out energy and food prices, and that was up 3.1% in July. So we are seeing pressure on prices. The producer price index, which catalogs what happens with the prices that producers pay, was up 3.3%. So there is concern about prices going up. At the same time, there's these pressures, which I noted earlier, about jobs and GDP. So as the Fed is considering what to do with interest rates, they have to realize that they have its dual mandate to maintain price stability and to keep the economy growing. And yet those two things are out of sync right now. There is a fear of what we have called, for those of us who were alive in the 1970s, stagflation, where the economy fails to grow or even falls into recession. And at the same time, we see inflation ticking up. So most economists don't see a recession on the near horizon, but it seems pretty hard to not look at the data and conclude that the economy is really starting to slow.
Yeah.
And that's why people say it's an inflection point.
So before we let you go, we only have about 30 seconds left, but the Fed Chair Jerome Powell is speaking to economists and central bankers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming today. What are you going to be listening for?
Well, everybody, of course, will be hanging on his words about the state of the economy and if he throws some hints as to which way the Fed is leaning in terms of these interest rate cuts that are widely expected. But we will also look to see whether he talks about the need for accurate economic data. People will remember that President Trump fired the chief labor statistic, and then also whether he'll talk about Fed independence from political pressure.
That is Mary Lovely. She's a senior fellow with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Mary Lovely, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Vice President Vance was in Georgia on Thursday to promote the administration's sweeping tax and spending bill signed into law last month. As NPR's Stephen Fowler reports, the law is becoming a campaign talking point ahead of the midterms.
Speaking at an industrial refrigeration equipment manufacturer in a suburb south of Atlanta, the vice president said the legislation was reflective of a, quote, government that stands up for you instead of fights against you.
because we believe that you ought to keep more of your hard-earned money, and we believe that if you're busting your rear end every single day, the government ought to make it easier for you and not harder for you.
Polls suggest voters have a chilly reaction to many key provisions of the law, which shifts resources away from the social safety net toward the tax cuts, increased immigration enforcement, and other Trump administration priorities. Still, Vance used the speech to attack Georgia Democratic Senator John Ossoff, who's one of the most vulnerable senators on the ballot in 2026, for opposing the measure.
In about a year, you are not going to be able to turn on the television without Senator John Ossoff pretending that he supported the working families tax cut when in reality he voted against it.
Speaking ahead of Vance's visit, Ossoff called it, quote, embarrassing that Vance would tout legislation that Ossoff said is already harming hospitals like Evans Memorial in southeast Georgia.
They're going to have a $3.5 million financial hole next year. That hospital here in Georgia is now warning that they may have to cut the ICU.
The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates the law could cause more than 10 million people to lose health coverage, bring in less income for the bottom 10% of Americans, and run a deficit of $3.4 trillion over the next 10 years. Both Democrats and Republicans indicate the tax cuts and other policies approved by the GOP-controlled Congress will play a prominent role in 2026 midterm messaging, though some changes would not take effect until after that election. Stephen Fowler, NPR News, Peachtree City, Georgia.
This is NPR News.
This is KAXE and the Friday Morning Show. I'm Jennifer Barr with John Bauer. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to have the StoryCorps segment from National Public Radio, looking back on 20 years since Hurricane Katrina happened. We'll hear from a New Orleans man who remembers those moments.
Wow. Hard to believe that's 20 years ago. Now we have another one. What's the one hitting the East Coast right now?
Aaron has been hitting the Outer Banks, and I'm not sure.
Supposed to reach close to land today, so we don't have much of that here in northern Minnesota. We're very fortunate.
No, not much, but still thinking of our friends in Bemidji. It's been a long summer of cleanup over there, and still thinking of our friends over there.
Yeah, I was listening to Jen talk about it and talk, you know, about how July was just, they haven't really had a chance to have a summer.
Yeah.
Because they've just been cleaning up and doing whatever they can do to bring Bemidji back to life. And from what I understand, they're doing a really good job at that.
Yep. Support for KAXE comes from Clacco Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 7 years now. Their taproom is open Monday through Saturday, noon to 8, Sunday, noon to 6. More info at claccobrewing.com.
Also one thing, Minnesota Power and Elite Company envisioning a carbon-free future through their Energy Forward strategy. More at mnpower.com/energyforward.
Coming up at about 7:45, it will be What's for Breakfast, where we get to know one of our members. If you would like to be our guest this morning, you can text us 218-326-1234, and then we can call you at the appropriate time.
Last week, we had someone like within 10 seconds. It was very exciting.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, let's hope for that again.
We continue with Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Layla Faldin. The U.S. Open begins this weekend, so who seems poised to win this year's tennis tournament and its record-setting prize money? Joining us for a preview is John Wertheim with Sports Illustrated. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what are you following in this year's tournament?
Great question. This is the fourth major, so this is the last shot for these players. I mean, on the men's side, this Carlos Alcaraz, Jannik Sinner rivalry has sort of become the new Federer Nadal Djokovic. It's sort of those two are the main candidates, and everyone else is sort of a write-in. And then on the women's side, Iga Świątek, this sort of talented player from Poland, had a bit of a slip earlier this season, but then she won Wimbledon and now suddenly looks like the player to beat.
So those are the players to watch?
Among three among many, but yes.
Whoever comes out on top is going to win the largest prize money in tennis history. How much money are we talking about here?
The winner gets $5 million. Hmm. On the other hand, this is now a 15-day sporting event that draws record crowds, and the tickets aren't inexpensive. So as a function of revenue, I would say the players, the $5 million sounds like a lot of money, but this is an event that brings in a lot of money as well.
It does sound like a lot of money. With that high of a prize, does it change or influence the tournament at all?
I think, to the top players, they all do very well in their lives. But I think what's really significant is that the first round prize money. So if you and I played and didn't win a single point, but we're in the first round, we would still make $110,000. Wow. And I think in a way, it's sort of the prize money at the lower levels, at the lower rounds, that almost has more impact than the winner getting this check for $5 million.
I can confirm that if I played, I would not make a single point. Pretty sure that's... So what about predictions both for you this weekend?
I'm interested in seeing Coco Gauff, who won the French Open, talented young American player, but she just changed coaches on the eve of the tournament, which we don't see very often, and now is working with a new sort of biomechanical coach. She won the U.S. Open 2 years ago, has struggled a bit the last few months, so it's sort of this interesting point where she is this great champion. She's already won a major title this year at Paris at Roland Garros, and yet she's really struggling. And then on the men's side, can anyone crack this duopoly between Alcaraz and Sinner, who have won each of the last seven majors?
Jonathan Wertheim with Sports Illustrated. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Time now for StoryCorps. Next week marks 20 years since Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast. Skip Bowe witnessed the start of the storm from his home in Lakeview, New Orleans.
The wind started picking up 50, 60 miles an hour. Then it gets past 100 miles an hour. And then patio furniture is passing in front of your face and people's porches are going by. And then all of a sudden, water just gushed in. I went upstairs to look out the window. Lo and behold, there's a fishing boat floating by. So I jumped out the window into the water and swam toward the boat, tied it off, and I said, I'm going to deal with this in the morning. I took the comforter off of the bed, laid it on the roof. That was my bed for the night. I just thought I was the only idiot that stayed. And then I heard, can you help me? And I shouted, I'll get you tomorrow, right now. Can't do anything at nighttime. The next day, I proceeded to go get the Drakes who lived on the corner. They was probably in their 80s. She was totally out of it with Alzheimer's. They had made it to the attic. And then I heard my other neighbor calling me, and I kept yelling to him, I'm coming to you next, Luke. He's just lived with his sister who was bedridden. And when I pulled up, you could walk on his roof. The boat was gutter high. And I said, Luke, it's Skip. But he doesn't want to come out the attic. He says, don't you come down here. You killed my sister. And I said, no, I didn't, Luke. He goes, well, she's downstairs. Why didn't you save me last night? Get out of here. And I think he lost it when he saw his sister get swallowed by water. Meanwhile, Mr. Drake's in the boat yelling, I have to bring my wife to the hospital. I said, Luke, look, I'm coming back. Hang in there. So I left. And then I dropped them off to higher ground. That's when I said I have to get back to get my buddy that I left. And when I got back to Luke, he was dead in the attic. I cried, second-guessed myself. I made a decision. I picked the oldest ones first, thinking they were the weakest ones, leaving the strong to survive. And it didn't work out that way. Months after, I was totally beating myself up. But later on, I was cutting the grass. And the Drakes that were on the corner, their daughter passed by and said, I think you saved my parents. I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She goes, you gave them 3 more years. I just wanted to tell you thank you. And then I realized why I stayed during the storm, What was the meaning of me staying? And at least I know I did the best that a person could have done.
That's Skip Bowe in New Orleans. His StoryCorps interview is archived at the Library of Congress. And let me mention, we will be in New Orleans next week reporting on the aftermath of Katrina 20 years later. Thank you.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Dignity Memorial. For many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com. And from Subaru, who along with its retailers is partnering with AdoptAClassroom.org to provide funding to high-need schools and local communities for the Subaru Loves Learning Initiative. Subaru, more than a car company.
This is NPR News.
This is KAXE and the Friday Morning Show. I'm Jennifer Barr sitting in for Heidi Holton today with John Bauer.
It's going to be patchy fog this morning. That's mostly clearing off right now, becoming partly cloudy today. High is 77 to 80 with west-northwest winds at 5 to 20 miles per hour. Lows tonight near 53. Still strong winds at night. Northwest winds 20 miles per hour. Saturday partly sunny, 62 to 67. Again, breezy with overnight lows in the 40s, and Sunday, a mix of clouds and sun, highs 59 to 64 with northwest winds gusting up to 25 miles per hour.
Support for KAXE comes from the Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, welcoming Dr. Carlisle to their team, offering lid and cataract surgery, general eye exams, and more. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
Let's see. The Babinski Foundation is offering a pet adoption event Friday, today, from noon to 4 at the Fleet Farm in Baxter. Meet dogs and cats of all ages who would love to join your family. And you know that if you're going there, you're probably going to walk away with something because it's nearly impossible. This brings up the fact that we are getting a new dog today.
Oh, that's right.
We're getting a new dog, a new corgi, and it's a one-year-old. It's going to be mixed in with our current female dog Jojo, and we're interested in knowing how that's going to work out and all the dynamics of what goes on with that.
Yeah, for sure. Did you say last week or the week before that Jojo met?
Yes.
New dog.
We went down to Rochester to meet the dog. You know, first of all, you have to meet the owners, and then they bring in the little feisty dog. And our dog, of course, Jojo, is snapping the teeth, you know, trying to be crabby. And then 5 minutes later, they're just playing like crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's going to be like. I mean, I've heard all kinds of techniques. Our Jojo is a wonderful dog. I've heard that you can kind of put a leash or something between them, like maybe 3 feet apart. So it will walk around with your dog. But I don't know if Jojo will just lay down or what. But our dog is going to be a good example. We're getting a one-year-old. So I don't know. There's going to be a tremendous amount of jealousy, but we're just going to have to get through that, Jennifer.
You'll get through it. It's like bringing a new baby home.
Yeah, it is.
To an older sibling.
Have you had that experience with cats, bringing a new cat into the litter?
Yes. Long time ago, I had one cat and then got a kitten, and it was like a day's worth of the kitten being a little nervous, the other one hissing at it, but then they were good friends for over a decade. So
well, the thought of this whole thing is from Sony is that she feels Jojo needs a friend, and she probably does. I mean, her friend is me because I'm retired and I'm home all the time, and I'm her friend, but I think she needs another canine companion, and so I hope it works out good.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of fun.
And the Eveleth Elks Club has a corn feed and classic car show today from 4:30 to 7 at the corner of Grant Avenue and Jones Street. Proceeds benefit the Elks Youth Scholarship Fund. And the Headwaters Music and Arts in Bemidji hosts a drum workshop and circle jam today from 5:30 to 8:30. It's free, open to all ages, 10 and up. Learn more from two renowned teachers of West African drumming. So there's just a lot of stuff going on.
Lots going on. If you want a more comprehensive list, visit KAXE.org. Look for Events Up North. That's something I put together every week currently working on the next week's edition. That'll come out later today, so you can start planning for next week. But there's always lots going on, and there's always things I feel like, oh, I didn't know that was happening. So let us know those things that are going on in your community.
Yeah, email for sure.
PSA@KAXE.org.
Northern Community Radio's Board of Directors meets at 6 p.m. Monday, the 25th of August. at KBXC Studios in Bemidji. This is an open meeting. Members and general public are invited to attend. For more information, email comments at kaxe.org or call 218-326-1234 during working hours. Regular meetings of our board of directors are held the fourth Monday of the month. The board meeting schedule is available at kaxe.org. Jennifer, I told you off air a little while ago, I see at the state fair now you can get all kinds of foods.
Well,
now you
yes.
can get soft serve beer ice cream.
Okay.
And the whole article was about whether it's going to take off or not. It was pink. The one they showed was pink.
Mm.
So I don't know how about beer and soft serve.
I'm not much of a beer person anyway, so it doesn't sound very delightful to me. Mm. But maybe it'll be a hit. You just never know. Fried ranch dressing was the big thing last year. So deep fried ranch dressing.
What was it on?
It was just, it wasn't
a chunk, a slab.
It was ranch dressing in like that they had, and it was deep fried. So it's like the ranch dressing wasn't on anything. It was surrounded by.
Did you have it?
No, I did not. But that was the big thing everyone was talking about last
year. Wow. Sounds really exciting.
We do have we did have someone text in for what's for breakfast, so we've got that squared away. Yes, we're going to talk with Ted from Bacchus coming up in a bit. So thank you, Ted. Looking
Fantastic.
Forward to that conversation. But right now, it is time for best wishes. We're going to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday, happy anniversary. Today is August 22nd. Happy anniversary to Lori and Rick Barber. They split their time between Marcel and Austin, Texas.
Wow.
Kim and Deb Isaacson, happy 38th anniversary to you. And Reamer, former king and queen of green cheese, I do believe. And Jim and Jennifer Harrow, also celebrating 38 years today in Heartland, Wisconsin. Rick Harding, happy birthday in Hibbing. And Therese Johnson, our current queen of green cheese. Garage Sale Ninjas, happy birthday to you in Bemidji. And Abby Young, turning 32 years old today.
38th anniversary is celebrated by gemstones, beryl, and other variations such as tourmaline. Tourmaline?
Oh, yeah.
Other gift ideas include an adventurous activity, trips to places associated with beryl like Madagascar, if you got some time,
mm-hmm.
or a romantic getaway at a luxury hotel. So those are just some suggestions for Jim and Jennifer and Kim and Deb. For tomorrow, Adele Hall is 43. Senior correspondence. Youngest child, only child.
Yes.
I can't believe she's 43. Dan Lentz, another KAXE name, 64 years young. And do we know where Dan lives? I mean, you kind of a ballpark. Does he still live in, he must live in Minnesota.
Yeah, he's in Minnesota. Yeah, it's blank on our sheet. I don't know why.
Yeah.
We know where he lives.
And Catherine Downing is 70 years young from Grand Rapids. And we wish her a very happy birthday. Mark Lundstrom's 56 from Arlington, Minnesota via the Nevis Cabin. Janice Patrick is 65 from Oakdale. Nancy Fraboni, 63 from Eveleth. And last but not least, Sandra Peterson having a birthday from Big Fork. Happy birthday and happy anniversary to all of you.
If you have birthday or anniversary greetings to share, you can text in 218-326-1234. Or email comments at kaxe.org. And if you can do that, you know, a few days before, that would be preferred. But if you have, you know, we can always do last minute additions. It's no problem. But if you really want to get them on there, make sure you let us know. We're going to hear some music now from one of our performers at this year's Grand Rapids River Fest. It's happening just 2 weeks from Saturday. It's Saturday, September 6th. We have Courtney Barnett, Margot Price, Jeremy Albino, and Alan Sparhawk. Find more information at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. This is from Margot Price's 2017 album, All American Made, Do Right By Me. By me.
Georgetown. Ain't much for a girl to do but get knocked up and settle down. The only dream some people have is to win the lottery. If you don't do that by yourself, do that by me. Some people climb a ladder till they end up at the bottom, spending all their precious time on money, fame, and stardom. But all I ever wanted was my own song to sing. If you don't do right by yourself, do right by me. Do right by me.
Today's date, August 22nd, 1984, I see my first ever bobcat in the wild. Bobcats are remarkably stealthy and seldom are seen out in the open. This one dashed across the road in front of me and left an irreplaceable image in my head of a large cat, short tail, somewhat the color of a deer, kind of grayish, reddish, and moving very quickly. In the intervening years, trail cams have become very popular across northern Minnesota, well, and across the country in general. And one of the repeated images seen on trail cams are bobcats. They're much more ubiquitous than we ever thought. There seem to be bobcats behind every tree and under every pile of rocks. And the trail cam has brought it out to all of us. But they are very stealthy and mostly running around at night, so we seldom see them, and any sound that we would make would tip them off in a hurry to get the heck out of there. So not many get seen, but there are many around.
That's your Daily Phenology. Tune in Tuesday mornings at 7:20 for John Latimer's full phenology report. And send us your nature notes at comments@kaxe.org or join our Season Watch page on Facebook. Have you ever seen a bobcat?
I think once alongside the road, Highway 6 north of Deer River.
I mean, just think about it. I'm going to be 67 years old. I think I've seen three in my life. I've seen two bobcats and I've seen a lynx, which is more rare, but they are so private, but they are large, like he said, and their paws are incredible. And so are their claws. So if you see a bobcat, it's a pretty special time.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with Rebecca Ahrens from String Genius, a band that is playing tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock at Pakegama Golf Course as they celebrate 100 years. And then we'll have the sports page just a little bit behind schedule this morning. And that's okay. And coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, DJ Dang is your host for Headwaters.
And the rumor has it, we have a contestant
or
a participant on What's for Breakfast.
We do, as long as we can get him on the phone.
So all you people, the hundreds of people out there that we're going to call, just you don't have to
relax, enjoy the theme song.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice.
It don't matter if you're tall, it don't matter if you're small, it don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all, 'cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last, and we'll be friends holding fast. You don't have to be smart,
You don't have to play a part.
What better thing could ever be than a kindly heart?
And I'll have yours, and you have mine too. Last, we'll be friends, holding fast. Talk all day, I'll listen. There's nothing we'll be missing. We don't need to paint the world. Everything will glisten. And when we sing our songs, everyone will sing along. 'Cause we'll be friends, and they will see exactly what friends can be. We'll be light as balloons, cows jumping over the moon.
It is time for What's for Breakfast on the Friday morning show here on KAXC. We're going to pull up a chair to one of our members' kitchen tables and get to know them a little bit better. Joining us now is Ted from Bacchus.
Morning, Ted.
Morning. Good morning. I must say I'm not in Bacchus this morning.
Okay. Good to know.
I'm actually up in the Boundary Waters on Moose Lake enjoying the views.
With cell coverage.
With cell coverage.
That's fantastic. Now, Ted, this is very rare for someone to, you know, call in and make a reservation early. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I think it's to be part of the community is always been such an honor, both on the listening end and in any participation that I've had access to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, did you have some, like, fake oatmeal and some tang this morning up in the Boundary Waters, or what'd you have?
Oh, no, it's really terrible. Over a wood fire, warming up, a street taco tortilla and some bacon bits warmed up and peanut butter. Oh, it was, like, very good.
Oh.
So,
I like that.
I'm a little bit confused with the peanut butter, though. Is there bread to apply it to, or just a spoonful?
The tortilla.
Oh, put it on the tortilla?
Yep. Oh, yes, yes.
And
yes.
Then,
just like when I was younger.
And then you kind of melt that over the fire?
Yep. Have a nice little wood stove and the bacon bits in a frying pan and the tortilla shell right over the grill.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds... What's the view like where you're at right now?
I'm up on a cliff overlooking Moose Lake, and it's awesome. Awesome.
Little fog this morning?
Just a tinge, but nothing that obscures the view. Get to watch all the paddle. I'm kind of on a route, so I get to watch the many paddlers and enjoy this little spot.
What about
how long have you been in the Boundary Waters, and how long will you be?
This is my fifth morning on a solo trip, and I think it's one more day.
Wow, okay. Solo trip. So, what kind of beverage are we talking?
Oh goodness. Goodness, yes. I think it's Medaglia d'Oro Italian espresso with some dried milk, whole milk, and some brown sugar. And oh my goodness, very much enjoying that.
So, what is the apparatus that you make it on? Just like gun smoke, or what?
Well, there's this little stove that I have that takes little chunks of wood. And then you just warm that up in a cup, the water, and then pour that in your mug and mix it all together. And of course, it makes you a little shaky because it's so much caffeine, but it's well worth it.
Oh, my gosh. So it just sounds so romantic. And, of course, that cup of coffee tastes better. So does the tortilla. All that stuff tastes better out in the woods, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. In the anticipation. I didn't eat a whole lot last evening, so I was very much anticipating it in the morning.
So have you been paddling and portaging a lot, or kind of have you been staying put in one area, or what have you been doing?
Been doing a base camp mostly, and then every day just going out and paddling and fishing a little bit, and not necessarily to keep many, but been catching some really big smallmouth bass and enjoying that, but mostly just the paddling and the views.
So this is a solo trip, and is it just good for the soul, good for the mental health, everything like that?
Definitely. Last week, I had the pleasure of being on a trip with my son-in-law and grandson for three nights, in another part of the Boundary Waters. And then I thought, why not drive, you know, having driven up here, why not do a solo as well? So
you've been away. So you didn't go back home in between.
Right.
You've
oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Just went into town, got a different permit and went back.
Okay. So how much preparation does it take to go into the Boundary Waters as far as packing food and things like that?
Oh, definitely. Quite a bit. It's something I've been doing, 20-some years on and off. And you just want to get as minimalist as you can, but be comfortable and safe. And so I've been doing that on and off, like I say, over time and whittling down things, but then adding like a full-size mat, which I've enjoyed a lot this week.
So, yeah, John and I have had a discussion before that we are not big fans of camping, just sleeping on the ground, but we appreciate people that love it and want to do it. And I mean, we love being in nature, I would say. But
do you like read a book or you just, what do you do when you've got a little bit of downtime? Just look at, enjoy the scenery?
Yeah, it's just amazing. I have a couple of the last couple of issues of The New Yorker that I've been enjoying and a couple other magazines, but not making a lot of progress on them because the views are so wonderful and the sounds and everything. It's just been just such a wonderful time.
And it's been getting dark earlier.
Yep.
So not a lot of daylight. I mean, there's still quite a bit of daylight, but it's fading earlier than it was certainly earlier this summer.
So it sounds like you've been doing this for many years. Have you had any good or bad wildlife experiences?
Yeah. Some years ago, my brother and I were up, and we literally had a moose, like a bullwinkle, full, I don't know what they're called, antlers, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he literally walked right into the camp with us.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was really spooky because it was like he was looking right through us. And fortunately, he just all of a sudden walked away. But that was the scariest or most exciting thing that I've had.
Did you hear him coming?
I happened to get up. This was bright and early in the morning. Happened to get up and looked out, and there he was. And then I whispered to my brother. He got up, and then the moose stepped right next to my brother. And so we were within 5 feet of this monster moose.
Oh, my gosh. Are they as big as everybody? I mean, I've only seen one in the wild. Are they as big as everybody says? They're giant, aren't they?
They're bigger. I'm about 6 foot, and I'm looking at his back. And so his head is above me, and it's wow.
So what happened through your mind in that, like, 5 seconds, like, maybe it could be over? Were you thinking of an escape route, or what were you thinking?
There was a big rock right next to our tent, and I'm thinking, we're just going to run around this rock.
I could see a rock, a moose chasing you around a rock. That's beautiful. What a thrill. It gives me goosebumps to see something like that. So why do you listen and support KAXE?
Well, I think I was probably a youngster in the beginning. Listened all these years, and the community, there's nothing else. Besides an eclectic group of people coming together and in whatever form that you can be a part of it, there's nothing else like it.
Mm. So. Well, we have a question of the week, Ted. And I don't know if you heard it, but have you got a roommate experience, like maybe college or when you lived with a couple different people or?
Oh,
yeah. He's got a chuckle about that one.
Yeah, there were the two roommates in college early on, and the one that was a study year and the one that was a party year. And it was kind of fun to watch that difference. And pretty soon the party year was gone.
Which side of that did you fall on?
He's talking three people. He hasn't mentioned the third person in this group.
Well, I was just in the middle. They're very impressionable.
Could go either way.
right. But I tried to stay on the straight and narrow as much as I could.
Now, was this in a dorm or in an apartment or something?
Yep, this was in a dorm.
Okay, so you didn't have cooking responsibilities like that?
Nope. Yeah. No, not with that one.
Where did you go to college?
That year was in Olathe, Kansas.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the church I grew up in had a college, and so that's where I went that first year.
Wow. Well, you know, Ted, thanks. You get a parting gift, but thanks a lot for sharing your wonderful experience with us. It kind of has a calming effect on everybody, I'm sure, that's listening. But Homestead Mills is our sponsor. You either get country blend cereal or wild rice pancakes for a parting gift. What do you think you want?
I think the wild rice pancakes would be good.
Okay, and now when you hang up this phone, what's the next thing you're going to be doing?
Drinking some more of that coffee and stoking the fire a bit.
There you go. Sounds
turning
so,
the radio back on.
Sounds so good. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a member.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take good care.
Yep. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. That is Ted, who lives in Bacchus, but has been spending quite some time in the Boundary Waters.
Wow.
Support for KAXE comes from Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.org.
Also want to thank Cuyuna Crusher Mountain Bike Race, taking place Sunday, August 24th at the Cuyuna State Rec Area, featuring over 500 racers and spectators, along with biking, food, and music in the heart of Minnesota's bike country. Proceeds support the Cuyuna Lakes Chamber and local community initiatives. More information at cuyunalakes.com.
And you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. And you can find us at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. You can text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thanks so much for your support. Coming up just after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with Rebecca Ahrens from the band String Genius, who are playing tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock at Pakegama Golf Course in Grand Rapids as they celebrate 100 years.
Anybody wanna fall in love tonight? Fall in love tonight.
In his ear, he was about to hear an offer that he could not refuse. She said, don't you wanna, don't you wanna fall in love tonight? She said, don't you wanna, don't you wanna fall in love tonight? She said, underneath the taffeta, there ain't no better high. If I see the moon, I just laugh at her. Wanna wake up your pretty face. Y'all ready for me?